Welcome to America's Commercial Real Estate Show, your source for market intel, forecasts, and strategies. Thank you for being with us. I'm Michael Bull. This segment is brought to you by my company, Bull Realty. For customized asset and occupancy solutions, visit bullrealty.com. Well, we have a very interesting show for you today. One of the things everyone seems to be curious about is the office market. What are we thinking of? What has happened so far, kind of pre-vaccine? And what should we expect in the future post-pandemic? And we have an expert here to let us know what he's seen so far, Michael Rosell. He's director of U.S. Office Analytics with the CoStar Group. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you again, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, Michael, I hear a lot of people saying, company-wise, that, they don't need office space, so they're going to need less office space. And I hear some companies saying, oh, my goodness, I really need more space so I can get the benefits of people being together, but spread them out and give them some distance. So I'm curious from you, as you guys study the market so closely, you know, what are you seeing so far for the impact on the office market around the U.S.? And if you will, let's start with just vacancy numbers. Mm-hmm. What have you seen the impact so far?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot to unpack there. But in terms of the vacancy rate so far, we've nudged up to just over 10% nationally. So not a huge spike. I think we're at historic lows heading into this this downturn. So we were, you know, at about 9.6, 9.7%. So really, there hasn't been a dramatic uptick in the vacancy rate as of now. And I think the U.S. office market overall, again, headed into this economic downturn or into this pandemic, was really well situated compared to prior downturns. We had very restrained levels of new supply. As I mentioned, the vacancy rate was hovering near historic lows, and absorption had really been on a terrific decade-long run. So we were much better suited heading into weather this storm than we had been in prior recessions.
Have you seen an impact yet on asking rental rates? I think some people might think that the asking rates should be dropping.
Yeah, you know, again, we haven't seen a sharp dip in asking rents, asking rent growth. I think there was a deceleration in the pace of growth prior to this pandemic. I think as we entered the 10th year of this economic expansion, things were slowing a bit. So we had seen some deceleration in the pace of that growth. It's accelerated a little bit heading into this downturn, but perhaps interestingly, as of the close of the second quarter, mid-year, asking rent growth still remained positive, if marginally positive. And you know, certainly, I think on the office sector, asking rents have historically been much stickier coming down than on the way up. So, you know, it may be a signifier that landlords are willing to offer generous concession packages for those few large tenants who may be willing to make a long-term commitment now. But I think largely a great pause has come over the office market. Where we're not seeing the dramatic pullbacks we've seen in financial-based recessions. I think largely tenants remain well-capitalized, particularly larger tenants. Landlords, owners of buildings are by and large well-capitalized, and their lenders remain well-capitalized. So everybody was in a much better position to weather this storm financially on the office side. And I think we've seen that materialize as the office sector, one could argue, has been one of the more resilient asset classes thus far during the pandemic. We haven't seen a lot of dramatic negative shifts.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And at CoStar, you guys track a lot of things. I don't think you track collections month to month from the office tenants, but from your boots on the ground and your discussions, what do you see? What do you hear for collections so far?
Right. Yeah. Well, we don't track that internally. I can say anecdotally from some of the earnings calls I've listened to from some of the larger national REITs, they've been holding up either on par or very close to on par with levels that they were pre-pandemic or a year ago. So we haven't seen the apocalyptic rent losses or deferrals or abatements that we've seen in the retail sector, for example. You know, again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Everybody is pretty well capitalized. And I think during this time, technology has been a great benefit, and this work from home experiment has actually been treating firms very well, because many of large firms, mid-sized firms, firms across the spectrum have been able to continue their business at a relatively high level of productivity. So it allows them to have income streams coming in, which they can, you know, use to pay their rent during this interim before we start heading back to the office. You know, and from what I've heard also anecdotally, for those tenants who are truly experiencing financial distress, you know, landlords have been willing to work with them in terms of either a rent deferral, abatement, or making some sort of arrangement. And the lenders for those landlords have also been very cooperative in making arrangements for those tenants who truly are experiencing financial hardship now.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that the percentage of those for office use is really low. It's good to hear for you know, the economy and these companies to continue to lease space and employ folks. And you mentioned lenders have been have shown some flexibility with some of these landlords as well. And I guess my next question is on new supply. You guys track on new buildings that are announced and underway and being built. On the buildings that have been announced, are you seeing any cancellations on new supply?
You know, really haven't seen a widespread trend in terms of projects being shelved or delayed. I think whatever was underway heading into this pandemic is still going, still on track to be completed and will deliver. You know, and I think largely developers tend to play a long game rather than just look at what's going to happen in the next 3 to 6 months. So I think those developers who have broken ground in the last few months are thinking, you know, look, in 2 to 3 years when my project delivers, we're probably going to be well past this pandemic and back to normal. So, you know, I think developers by nature, you have to have a certain amount of optimism to you. And also office projects, you know, aren't getting completed in 6 months or even 12 months in many cases. So I think they're looking past this pandemic.
Yeah. And what's your predictions, Michael, on how the vacancy and how the office will perform, say, the rest of the year in 2021, what's the future look like?
Yeah, I think in our base case forecast at CoStar, we have absorption continuing to slow and dip negative through about mid next year. We have the vacancy rate peaking at just over 11%, which, to put in historical perspective, is still well below the 13%+ we saw during the great financial crisis in 09 and 010. So our base case has us remaining below that. And that's a function of the supply we just talked about hitting over the next couple of quarters, combining with lessened demand. But after that, things start to stabilize, and past 2021, we start to see that vacancy rate head back down to closer where we are today or where we were a quarter ago.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. And what about sublease space? Because I know that I see some sublease space coming on the market, or I see more coming on the market on CoStar than I have in the past. What do you guys see there?
Yeah, I think largely to date, that's been market specific. On a national level, year over year, we've seen an increase of about 20 million square feet or so of sublease space that's been added to the market, which sounds like a lot, but you have to put it in perspective. We're an 8 billion square foot market in the US. So an additional 20 million square feet actually isn't as detrimental as it may appear on the face of it. You know, markets, particularly on the West Coast in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose, there's been a large uptick in sublease space that's been put on the market there. But on the whole, I think it's been restrained. Now, of course, all of this is dependent on how much longer this pandemic lingers and how much longer the economy remains a bit locked up. So, you know, if there's one thing that that would keep me up at night, it's how long the resilience of the office market will in fact last should this pandemic linger, or should we see a large resurgence as we've seen in some of the states that have opened and now are reversing those openings. So, you know, that's definitely one thing to keep an eye on and could change the game in terms of our forecast going forward.
Michael, where might there be some opportunities in the office market?
In terms of investment, you know, I don't work on the consulting arm of our firm, so I hesitate to give investment advice. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, for all of the talk of the fear of people returning to CBD office space and we're going to see a reverse migration into the suburbs, I really don't see any evidence that that's happened. And I'm not confident we're going to see that happen on a large scale. So I think, you know, your gateway markets with large CBDs, good infrastructure, will continue to perform well in terms of attracting investment dollars. And additionally, I think 4 and 5 star newer Class A product will be attractive because those have the infrastructure to more easily adapt to whatever the new HVAC and air filtration protocols are going to be going forward. Mm. So an increase in adding fresh air to the building, an upgraded filtration system throughout the building, the ability for individual suite occupants to control their air quality. I think, you know, we've seen by and large, the vast majority of absorption in the office market over the last decade head to 4 and 5 star Class A buildings. I think this will only increase that trend as employee safety becomes even more paramount. And I think investors will follow where the absorption is and the rent growth is. And I think it's going to continue to be and accelerate in those higher end assets.
So you believe then, correct me if I'm wrong, that this talk of companies leaving the CBD and going to suburban markets either is going to be short-lived or it's just not happening yet?
Yeah, it's not happening yet. And again, I don't see that on a large scale. I think people's preferences continue to be living close to urban CBD centers. And it doesn't make sense if the majority of your employees live within 20 or 30 minutes of your CBD location to move an hour and a half or 2 hours away from the vast majority of your employees in the suburbs. You know, I don't think that's going to work out well. You know, there's been talk of the third office concept as well, where you maintain your CBD location, you allow some flexibility to work from home, and then you have a smaller satellite suburban office. But again, that concept really only works if a good number of your employees are close to that satellite office. You know, if you have 10% of your employees there, or most of your employees, you know, have to cut through the CBD to get to that suburban satellite office, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do that.
That's a good point. Well, what would you leave our audience with, Michael, to think about moving forward with the office sector?
Yeah, I think, again, it's been one of the more resilient sectors. We haven't seen the tremendous losses that the retail and hospitality sectors have had. I think while the increased technological capabilities have certainly helped office tenants weather the storm and maintain productivity, I'm not a big believer in some of the thoughts out there that we're going to largely shift to a full-time work from home model. I don't see that being sustainable. I don't think employees would want to be home full-time, particularly in this climate where you've had to be a part-time educator and parent and full-time employee. I think it's very difficult for companies to establish any sort of corporate culture or onboarding via Zoom. I think you need to be in the office, have that energy. And I think as great as technology is with Zoom meetings and video conferencing, you just lose that sense of collaboration and excitement of being in the office. So if anything, I think there may be a middle ground where employees have been asking for and may receive that flexibility to work from home a couple of days a week. But I don't see a large downsizing of firms in terms of their footprint right now. I think we're still in a wait and see mode, how this pandemic plays out over the next 6 to 12 months. But even if we are at a flexible working model, you're still going to need the same amount of space to accommodate social distancing for now. So I think firms have been pretty hesitant to make any major permanent decisions regarding downsizing or redesigning their floor plans right now. Yeah. So I don't see the office market cratering. And again, anecdotally, in some of the major leases that were signed in the last quarter, many of those over 100,000 square feet were signed by tech firms, Amazon, Microsoft, video app maker, TikTok. And that was the sector that a lot of people have talked about would be best suited and will likely shift to a permanent work from home model. So we're not seeing that happen. For as many announcements as we've heard from Facebook being flexible with work from home arrangements, by and large, we're not seeing that sweep across the tech firm as industry as a whole. They're still leasing massive chunks of office space.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. Can you imagine if you were talking to a really hot recruit and you said, hey, you're going to love our people and you're going to love our culture, but oh, wait, you're going to be home by yourself in your apartment or your house.
Yeah.
Well, is that going to work? Yeah. All right, Michael, thanks for joining us. Great information as usual. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michael.
All right. And look, what's going to really determine the future of office use and remote work and the size of offices that people need are going to be really how do the employees react? What do they want? What do employers and executives want? So stay with us right after a short break. We're going to talk to the guys at PwC who have done a recent survey of 1,200 employees and 120 executives to kind of see what they think is around the corner. Stay with us. I'm Michael Bull. This is America's Commercial Real Estate Show. Site selection, marketing, and property due diligence has just changed. Check out VistaPropertyReport/CRE Show. That's VistaPropertyReport/CRE Show. Use promo code CRE Show. You will love this product.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial real estate? You're invited to contact Bull Realty for customized asset and occupancy solutions. Call 404-876-1640 or visit bullrealty.com.
Would you like to be the top producing commercial broker in your office? Check out Michael Bull's video training. Since you're a show listener, you receive 10% off your first purchase. At checkout, use discount code CRESHOW. Visit commercialagentsuccess.com.
Welcome back to America's Commercial Real Estate Show. I'm Michael Bull. This segment is brought to you by commercialagentsuccess.com. Check it out. It's the ultimate in commercial training for commercial real estate agents. Well, today we're talking about the office market, and we've considered how the market's doing. But, you know, we want to skate where the puck is going. And I know a lot of CEOs and business leaders are trying to figure out how to open back up and what is going to be their current and future strategies for office use. How much space are they going to need? How many people are going to want to work at home? How is that impacting businesses? Well, luckily, Strategy Ann, which is a division of PwC that consults business owners and leaders on productivity. They've done a survey of 1,200 employees or office workers and 120 executives on just this subject. And it was completed on June 4th. So it's very recent. Please welcome my guest. It's Dennis Kagler, and he's a partner with PwC. He's a member of management committee for U.S. strategy for business for PwC USA, lead organization for strategy for PwC USA, lead thought leadership and marketing for growth and workplace of the future. And he's joining us here today. Dennis, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sure I left off a lot of accolades there, but you're obviously an expert in helping companies understand how to be productive. And, you know, that's what's on everyone's mind right now, right? With all these employees working at home, starting to get back into the office. So when you look at the survey results, so the first question I have to ask you is the office dead? Is it a thing of the past?
Oh, no, not at all. Office is here to stay. And at the same time, we're expecting the office is going to go under a major renovation. It is not going to be what it used to be. That part is clear. We expect it is going to evolve significantly. Rather than being the default where employees travel to get their work done on a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m., it is going to evolve to be a destination where employees travel for specific purposes. And we see the specific purposes are going to revolve around collaboration and engaging, socializing with their colleagues in the office to build a community, to build their internal relationships and networks. So very much a focused office is awaiting us when we do eventually return to office.
And when you surveyed the executives about their thoughts on how many of their employees would work from home or partially work from home as of this first week in June when you did this survey, what did they tell you?
I was surprised. So first and foremost, there is both on the employee side and the employer side, there's a lot of interest to continue working from home on a part-time basis. So maybe that was one of the surprises for me that in our survey, 32% of employees responded that they want to work from home all the time. That was much higher than I would have thought before we went into the survey. The flip side of this says 68% of employees want to be office at least part of the time. So the office is not dead. Even the employees want to come back to the office to engage with their colleagues, to socialize, to collaborate. On the employer side, there's a lot more willingness to allow that flexibility for the good of their employees. Before the crisis, what we heard was about 40% of the employers said that somewhere around 60% or more of their employees work from home at least one day a week. That 40% is going to increase to 55%. So we're seeing already anticipation that employers are getting ready to provide more flexibility to their employees to work from home more frequently. But frankly, exactly how that's going to pan out, I think a little early to say still, but indications are we're going to see many more people working from home more frequently.
Well, it's interesting to compare to pre-COVID to and during COVID, like you just did with the employers' thoughts. And but you also said that 32% of employees would like to work at home as kind of during COVID, as you asked them. And I guess you're talking about in the future, work at home, right? They're already working
at
home now.
That's right.
But how many of them wanted to work at home before COVID?
Much fewer. So about 40% said they never worked remotely. They were always in the office. In our survey, we see that number coming down from 40% down to 10%, that they always want to work in the office. So a very small percentage always wants to work from the office. On the other extreme, who always want to work from home, that was 18%. That is going up to 32%. So it's definitely shifting towards working from home. There was some flexibility in the past. That flexibility is increasing significantly.
So what do the employers think in your survey about things like, you know, productivity, quality, culture, recruiting? I could go down the list, collaboration, yeah, trade secrets. You know, what do they think, yeah, about those types of things?
Yeah, those are very much top of mind concerns. All of those items you listed, Michael, everybody's thinking about those. Some more than others, but top of mind for everybody. Productivity is an interesting one, and at least for the shorter term, we have seen, in most cases, an increase in productivity. Employers reported that 44% of their employees were more productive, and 25% were about the same. So you add up those two numbers, you're just about 70% of employers who said their employees are at least as productive and possibly more productive before the crisis. Now, the employees responded something about the same number, but in terms of more productive, they see themselves a little less than the employers do. So the employers are more optimistic about their employees' performance. I think what's happened there is in many cases, we have seen the demand increase, a lot more work happening in response to the crisis without changing the number of employees, like people weren't hiring. So employers met the demand, increased workload with the same amount of employees during the initial response to the crisis. So overall, the productivity went up in that sense. I think what we have observed is the working hours expanded during this time. We're all quarantined, so we're not commuting, a lot of extra time on our hands. And frankly, what we've heard is employees have poured that excess time to their work. they've spent some of that with their families too, maybe a little bit personal, but anecdotally, one of the executives I spoke to quoted, at least half the time saved from commuting has gone to work. So the workday is expanded, the employees got more work done. I don't know how long that's sustainable, right? And that's a question on everybody's mind these days.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear that, the executives feel that their employees have been more productive. My sense in doing business with different companies and that I deal with, and it seems like a lot of the people I talk to is like, everything takes forever. People aren't getting back to them. That business isn't going as well. Maybe that's because I'm in commercial real estate, but I don't get that feel when I'm trying to do business with companies.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the flip side of the 70% being same or more productive is 30% is indeed less productive. So 3 out of 10 chance you're running into one of them.
There you go. That's right. When you talk to executives, Dennis, about their thoughts moving forward, post-pandemic, what do they feel about their square footage of office needs? How many think that they're going to need less? How many think the same? And how many think they might need more?
Yeah, that was one of the surprises for me in our survey. You look at the interest in working from home remotely. That 32% always want to work from home. I did not mention this, but another similar statistic is 72% of the employees want to work from home at least 2 days a week, right? So 2 or more days a week. So that's immediately taken away 40% or more of the space needs out of an office. So if you believe those numbers, that would say, well, many fewer people will be in the office in the future. So will the companies need the same amount of space? And somewhat of a logical next step there is, well, companies in the longer term are going to need much less space, right? So that's what I was expecting to see. And about 30% of the companies, executives who responded to our survey said they are indeed thinking about less space. But another 20% said, no, it's about the same. So that leaves you 50% that are actually expecting to increase their space. And the reason for the increased space is, one, some companies are indeed counting on growth. So they're going to have more people, so they're expecting to grow their office space. Others cited the social distancing, physical distancing needs to stick around for a little bit longer. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty around exactly when the virus will go away. When it does go away, how people are going to react to it. Are we going to feel comfortable being packed in an office space in the future, even 18, 24 months down the road, even when a virus is available, how much of this is going to linger? So there are some questions I think that are going to take a while to sort out. So we're seeing some executives being cautious, not rushing to reduce their office space immediately. My hunch in the longer term, as things evolve, I think there's a likely to shrink. And at the same time, it's going to be probably much slower than we might have thought.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Perhaps not at all.
Yeah, because it being a consultant to companies to be productive, I'm sure you've seen over the past several years the square footage per person, per employee, really shrinking, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And many organizations have gone to this open space concept or unassigned seating hoteling concepts to do exactly that, with providing some more flexibility, but also taking advantage of the improvements in technology and to connect people virtually. That had been a trend to reduce the office space, to pack us a little tighter into the offices.
Yeah. And you would think that some of the companies that maybe were early on to go to less square footage per person and go to more mobile and work at home concepts might be the technology companies. But, you look at this past quarter during the pandemic, I guess Microsoft, TikTok, and Amazon have signed big leases. It's looks like some of these companies may have been in the forefront of mobile and working people from home. Has that, for some of those companies, they looked at it and went, hey, that really hurts productivity or hurts recruiting or retention? Or, why do some of these companies kind of go to more remote or home working and then come back to the office?
Yeah, I don't know about those specific companies, but in the past, there's been some experiments in large companies and that publicly announced their intentions to return to work in the office only. I think in the past, those, at least my experience, 5-6 years older or maybe old, even older than that, and at least they cited challenges in collaboration, maybe reduced innovation in their business. I'm wondering if the times are different now, that technology has gotten so much better and we have generations coming up now that have grown up on iPhones or tablets and smartphones and much, much more comfortable connecting with others virtually. So the times might be different now, but collaboration, innovation, maintaining a company culture, the relationships among employees, those are definitely top of mind concerns even now while we move to this more virtual model. Those might get in the way of a broader adoption of work from home models.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to see how many of the respondents that are executives are thinking that they might need, you know, more space. And, you know, I think employees are going to like that if they get back into the office. And there are some private offices. There is more room, even post-pandemic, right? Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but you put me in 100 square foot per person in an open room, and I'm never going to be comfortable with that.
Yes. Yeah, I think we will see how this evolves. But if, say, 20% of the employees are working from home at any given time, that immediately provides 20% more space for everybody else who's in the office.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, what would you leave our audience with, Dennis, related to future use of office space and this working from home concept?
I think I would highlight maybe 2 points and possibly 3. One is, especially for executives in their organizations, think about what this could mean for your own employees. Who wants to work from home? How often? And think about the different roles they perform. Who needs to be in the office to access certain equipment, computers, monitors, paper documents, maybe, that ties into the office versus others who might be much more mobile. And think about offering them the flexibility based on the nature of the work they do. So for some, it might be maybe one day a week. For others, it might be 3-4 days a week. The extension of that is going to be, and think about how you are going to be able to maintain the collaboration, the connectivity among the employees. That is still important, even when the technology does allow us to connect from distances, that in-person connectivity is still important and people are still asking for it. So let's think about how we're going to provide that. For real estate organizations, I think there are some implications around the overall space requirements, as well as what that space looks like. If the office is going to evolve to provide better collaboration, better connectivity among employees, we're likely going to see changes to individual office spaces or cube farms, I would call, and thinking about more collaborative spaces, much better enabled by technology and connectivity tools. So going back to my earlier statement, the office is not going away yet, but a major renovation is on the way.
That's right. Well, Dennis, great information. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And let us know what you think out there if you're listening to the show around the country. What do you think? Are you an executive, a CEO? Do you run lead a business? What are your plans moving forward? Share your thoughts. And hey, until next show or next week, be sure you always lead, learn, and laugh, and join us for America's Commercial Real Estate Show.
Appreciate the show? Consider referring business or doing business with our sponsors. Bull Realty is a commercial real estate sales, leasing, and advisory firm doing business throughout the Southeast, headquartered in Atlanta. Visit bullrealty.com for more information.
Vista Property Report /CRE Show. Incredible analysis using smartphone technology.
Commercial Agent Success Strategies provides video training for commercial agents. This training gets 5-star reviews from even the most experienced brokers. Learn more at commercialagentsuccess.com. www.bysellorlease.com. You're invited to connect with us on your favorite social media. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Don't miss a show of special interest to you. Be sure and subscribe to the show on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. And at the show website, creshow.com, you can subscribe for a weekly email announcing the show topic and guest. While you're there, you also found more videos and podcasts. Thank you for watching or listening to America's Commercial Real Estate Show.